Well, that's quite a story there, isn't it? Jesus saying to the cities that, you know, they hadn't heard Him. That they had had miracles done and still had not repented. That they had seen the power of God and still had not chosen to hear the message of God. We often think what a wonderful thing it would have been to have been there in those times, to have walked with Him and talked with Him, as the song so beautifully says. And yet, would we have been any better at seeing Him than we are today? I wonder. When we talk about this kind of thing, in psychological terms, we refer to it as denial. People try and show us the truth about ourselves, and we don't want to see it. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to look at it. We don't want to admit that what we see, what we think, what we've always believed might be wrong. Jesus came and presented a new view of God to people who thought they already knew God. And they didn't want to hear it. Jesus came to present a new vision of what the Old Testament had taught. But people didn't want to listen. Jesus came and did wondrous miracles, and people were more than happy to eat the loaves and fishes that He blessed and provided, to accept the healing, to accept the blessings, to be in awe of the miracles, but they did not want to listen to the messages that He was trying to share with them, that the truth was not complicated, but simple. That the love of God was not complicated and involved, but simple as a child's faith. We so often get involved in looking at the complicated and trying to understand, and yet what we miss out when we do are those simple truths. I remember hearing a story of a truck that got stuck under a railroad overpass. And the mechanics were there, and the truck driver was there, and the engineers were there, and they were all trying to figure out how to fit this truck that was 16 feet tall through this underpass that was a few inches less than 16 feet tall. And some little boy came by on his bicycle and says, "Why don't you let the air out of the tires?" We want complicated and involved solutions when sometimes the simplest solutions are the best. We want to believe that what we believe is right regardless of what we see sometimes and what we hear sometimes and what other people want to share with us sometimes. We get so attached to what we're sure is right that when somebody comes along and questions that, we get offended. We get angry. We get upset. I hear the expression sometimes, fairly frequently, "Oh, I know that's right." And whenever I hear that, I think, maybe not. Let's look at that again. Because the things that we know so often are not true, they're just often. You know, we say that the sun rises in the east, but the astronomers tell us the sun doesn't rise at all. It is the earth that is rotating on its axis. So the sun is still, we're moving. We are hurtling towards the east at a, if you measure it in miles an hour, pretty incredible rate. Doesn't feel like that because we're all moving at the same speed. We don't think about that. The sun rises in the east. And you can go out there any morning and you can see it. Sure enough, there it goes, rising, right? The truth is a powerful thing. I work with folks who struggle with addiction, and I frequently am trying to tell them that the world is different from what they want to see. I had a man at Mayo Prison when I worked in as an addictions counselor there who had a J in front of his number. For any of you who've ever been involved with the correction system, you know that every year you come back, you get a letter. So for him to have a J meant that was his 11th trip to state prison. That didn't include any trips to county jails or other facilities. That's just state prisons. And we were doing the 12 steps, and he said, I keep getting stuck on the step where it says that God will remove these defects of character. I've made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. I've looked at myself. I've done this way too many times. I want to quit. I want to be clean and sober when I get out of here, and yet I am afraid. If God removes all these defects of character, there won't be any of me left. The me that I know is only a defective character. And he was being very honest about his fear. He didn't know who he was because he had been drinking since he was a teenager. And he was my age. 11 trips to state prison. I watched the History Channel the other day. I just happened to look at there wasn't anything else on. And it was a thing on Vietnam War. And one of the people that they interviewed was General Westmoreland. And whether you agree with Westmoreland or however you interpret the history, it was obvious in watching him that he had one view of how things were, and he was not about to change that for anybody. That was the way it was for him, and that was the way it was, as far as he was concerned. And even in his retirement, he couldn't consider the possibility that anything could be any different than the way he saw it. I think Jesus is trying to tell us here that sometimes we have to stop. That what we think is hidden is not really hidden, but it is us who are blind because we refuse to consider the possibility that the world might be totally different than the way we see it. The people that he's talking to saw it in terms of their Old Testament Hebrew Jewish tradition. And so they saw God as angry and jealous because that was the God that they knew from that tradition. And they saw the law as being paramount because that was what was taught in that tradition. And yet Jesus was saying, what's important is love. What's important is caring about other people. What you think is a burden is really a joy. What you think of as a struggle is really freedom. What you think of as a problem is really a solution. Just let go of all the stuff that you are carrying around and take up my yoke. Take up my promise. Take up my teaching that you are already forgiven. That God already loves you. That God already cares about every hair on your head and every moment of your life and everything that you do. And accept those wondrous blessings that He has already given you because what you are struggling so hard for is much less important than what you already have. if we could just stop assuming that we know what is and let Him show us that there is another world and another way, our lives would be transformed. There was a movie that was made a few years ago with Harrison Ford, one of my favorites since his Star Wars days. And he was portraying a lawyer. And he was not a real nice person. He was really aggressive. He was really out there to, you know, make a name for himself. And he didn't have a whole lot of integrity. He did whatever it took to make a lot of money and to get what he thought should be done. And then he had an accident. And he had a head injury. And he wasn't real smart after that. He wasn't real capable of doing that work after that. He didn't have that same aggressiveness and that same need to succeed, but he had somehow a clearer sight. He saw that what was important to him in his old life wasn't important, and that what was important to him from his new, simpler point of view was family, children, love, not getting ahead, not making money, not success, not position, not all that stuff, but simple things. Jesus asks us if we are willing to forgive in order to be forgiven. And so we in the Methodist Church invite everyone, anyone who would share with us the communion meal to be in forgiveness with our brothers and sisters. We don't say you have to be Methodist. We don't even say you have to be Christian. We just say you have to be willing to live and desire that forgiveness that Christ talks about. We welcome to our table all who seek to be in forgiveness with their brothers and sisters and accept Christ's forgiveness for themselves. What a wonderful thing. We struggle to understand all of the words in this book. We struggle to understand all of the theology. We had a good discussion the other night about where do you go after you die? Are there different levels and stuff, but ultimately what it all comes down to is that He has promised to be with us wherever it is, however it works, whatever happens. We have Christ's promise. That's what matters. The simple answer. Don't you wish school was like that? I spent some years in a graduate program studying education, and one of the things that we joked about is the right answer is always the most complicated one. You know, in multiple choice question, whichever answer has the most words, if you don't know which one's right, guess that one. It's usually it. Because we, in our complication, want to make things complicated. God says, no, we don't have to make things complicated. The right answer is the most simple. God loves you. Jesus died for you. We love each other because He loved us first. That's what it's all about. How simple can it get? Come to Me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy. For My yoke is easy, burden is light. Wonderful promise. What a wonderful word. In Jesus' name, amen.